the man and the woman. And he's the one that invented marriage. And he knows how it works. Right? The inventor knows how it works. And so what he's doing is he's giving us instruction to help us to figure out how it works in his mind. Okay, and ladies, number one, your husband needs the investment of your companionship. And when you write that down, I know it's just a cheesy little word, but there is a bunch packed into what God says about this concept in the Word of God. Your husband needs the investment of your companionship. And to fully grasp the meaning of that, I want to take you back right now. So work with me. I want to take you back to the very beginning of the Bible and the very beginning of creation and show you how this whole marriage thing started and why it is that God gives you the responsibility of being your husband's loving companion. I want you to notice what God said in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. It says this, very familiar verse, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone." Now, I want you to work with me. I want you to think about this, to fully grasp the weight of that statement. We would have to understand that on six separate occasions before he makes this statement in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, on six separate occasions, God steps back from what he had created and says, "I'll tell you what, that right there is good. Good job, God." Oh. They're three and yet they're one. I'm sure they do a lot of high-fiving. You know, that was awesome, man. But on six separate occasions, he steps back and he says, "That is good, man." In fact, chapter 1 culminates in verse 31 saying, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." So, when we get to chapter 2 and verse 18, when God had looks at this perfect specimen of a man that he had just created. And remember now, he is the perfect God. And he created this man in his own image and in his own likeness. And God looks at this perfect specimen in his image and likeness, and he looks at him and he goes, "This is not good." I wasn't expecting that to be humorous, but but the stuff that I thought was humorous didn't go over as well. But now listen, what he's wanting to make sure is that we've got our ears perked up and that he has our undivided attention, because he's wanting us to see something big. He has not said that six different times. It's good to only come to this and think, "Yeah, they'll just read right over that." No, he's wanting to show us something that is really important. Okay, and what is it? God says, "It is not good for a man to be in an alone state as he does his life on this earth." Now, I want you to think about that for just a second. I mean, don't you think that God had the power and the ability to have created Adam in such a way that being alone wouldn't have been not good? I mean, couldn't he have done that? I mean, surely we think that the all-powerful God had the ability to do that. And let me ask you this. Was Adam really going to be alone? I mean, didn't God fully intend to be Adam's father? Didn't God fully intend to be Adam's friend? Wasn't God intending to walk with him and talk with him in a personal, intimate love relationship? Sure he was. But what I'm wanting you to see here is that God created this man with a need for a very special companion. And in God's mind, without her, he was alone. Even though God was going to be God to him. God said this. This is God's commentary. It is not good. He understood that without her, this man is going to be desperate. And you see, ladies, that's why God invented this thing of marriage in the first place. Because the man was alone. And he said, here's what I'm going to do. And he created you. Now, because of that, ladies, I'll submit to you that regardless of what it feels like, okay, so try to separate feelings out for just a sec. Regardless of what it feels like, there is no other person on this planet that your husband needs more than you. And I'll take it even further. Regardless of what it feels like, there is nobody on this planet that your husband wants more than you. God's answer to his alone state wasn't a set of golf clubs. It wasn't a deck of cards. It wasn't a shotgun and a bow and arrow. It wasn't a couple of good old boys to hang out with. The answer was a wife. Listen, ladies. There's no person in the world that can fill the void in your husband the way that you can. And if you don't fill that void, as strong and as burly as he is, he's desperate. That ain't my opinion. I'm just taking you back to the very beginning. And the perfect specimen of a man in an alone state, the God of the universe, the God of creation said, this is not good. He needs a companion. Okay, but what does that mean? Well, this is a fellowship of churches, and I love this fact that we can all agree about an approach to the Bible. We believe we have the Bible in our own language and that God has preserved it for us. And we're not going to go correct it. We're just going to go see what God has to say. And we're going to understand that this book transcends our human intellect and our ability to reason it out. It's a supernatural book that must be, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it must be revealed to us. And it has to be revealed by the Spirit. And the Spirit reveals it to us as we compare things spiritual with things spiritual. Okay, and so as we begin to do that with Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, we learn some things about this thing of a woman coming in to be that one that fills the void of this man in his alone state as a companion. And first of all, letter A, I think it's letter A, yes. Biblically, a companion is a partner to share life with. A partner to share life with. Ladies, you know what God intended husbands and wives to be? He intended that we would be life mates. Listen, not just mates for life, but life mates. We were looking in the last session, and even last night, at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, where he describes this, the marriage relationship, as us, look at this, being heirs together of the grace of life. Okay, now again, I know we talked about it briefly. I'm going to talk just in a little more detail right here. But would you listen to that incredible description that God gives of marriage? It unfolds like this. God, in His grace, has given us this absolutely unfathomable inheritance. And it's called life. And what God says here is that in His grace, He has blessed husbands and wives, not just with the incredible inheritance called life, but He gave them to each other, listen, to do life together. And biblically, a partner to share life with, and this is in your notes, or a companion is a partner to share life with, and as his partner, ladies, you complete him. You were God's answer to your husband's alone state that God knew that would not be good for him. And I want you to know, ladies, and again, I know that, you know, we present this macho man front. But for a man, ain't a whole lot worse than having a wife and feeling alone. He'll be incomplete. And in that incomplete state, it ain't good. Because you know what he's going to end up doing? If in his flesh, he's going to find somewhere to be successful. He's going to lose himself in his job. He's going to lose himself in his hobby. God forbid. No justification in this, but maybe with another woman. He needs you. Because without you, he is alone. And please, ladies, try to hear God saying, that's not good. And so first of all, biblically, a companion is a partner to share life with. Secondly, letter B, biblically, a companion is a friend to share joy with. Now listen, ladies and fellows, I'm certainly not wanting to minimize or trivialize the relationship between a husband and wife simply as a mere friendship. And we'll see that when we get to the third thing. But I do want you to see that a key part of God's design in marriage was to provide husbands and wives with a best friend. You guys know Anne of Green Gable? What did she want? I saw you say that. She wanted a bosom friend. I know you don't think about your husband this way, ladies. But you know what your husband wants? And I'm not being cheesy about that terminology. He wants a best friend, man. And that's why he asked you to marry him. Did you know that there is an entire book in the Bible that's really nothing more than a romantic love story between a man and a woman? And we call it the Song of Solomon. And listen, that boy went a long time without a song. He had 700 wives. How whack is that? 300 concubines, how whack is that? And with 1,000 of them, he says in the book of Ecclesiastes, but
Didn't find what I was looking for. Didn't find a virtuous woman in the whole bunch. And of course, from a prophetic standpoint, it pictures the love relationship between Christ and His bride, the church. Because, of course, who was Solomon? He was the son of David, who found the love of his life in a Gentile bride. Hello? Shulamite woman, that's us. And in Song of Solomon chapter 5 and verse 16, it records the words of the bride. Listen to what she says. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. Yeah, this is my lover. But listen to this, ladies. And this is my friend. And I would submit to you that this Gentile bride, this Shulamite woman, she got it. You know how in the book of Titus it says that the older women are to teach the younger? Okay. Would you learn from this old woman sitting back in the book of Solomon about what it is that your husband really needs? Listen, ladies, God said, it isn't good that your man should be alone. God intended for him to have a friend, and He intended that friend to be you. And I know that as a woman, your tendency is to focus on being your husband's lover, but I think what God's trying to get you to see is that the way that you actually do that is by first learning to be your husband's friend. Can you hear that? Let me just go a little deeper on that. In Titus, what I just referenced there, Titus chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it talks about the aged women, the aged women likewise, that they teach the young women. And what is it that they are to teach them? But notice one of the things that the older women are to teach the younger. The fact that it has to be taught ought to scream something to us. That the older women may teach the young women to love their husbands. Really? Wow. You talk about a void of things in the church. Where's the older women that are teaching the young women what it is to love their husbands? Okay, one of the things I love about our fellowship of churches is that, again, I mentioned this, we don't correct the Bible, and we're not constantly running to the Greek to try to figure out, you know, what was intended in all of this. There's times when it's just interesting to actually look at that. We've got tools that allow us to do that. And I think that we would understand that in our English language, it's a little bit different than in the Greek language, though I know a little Greek. His name is Demetrius Anagnostou that lives up in Michigan. And that's about all the Greek I know. But I do have the same access to tools that you guys have. And we would understand that in the Greek language, you know, there's the agape love. We all know that, right? You know, and that's that unconditional love, like the love that God has for us, that supreme love. There is eros, that romantic love, not even actually used in the Bible. There's the word phileo, you know, that city up in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, the city of what? Brotherly love. You talk about some bad typecasting right there. But it's the love that is shared between friends. Okay, that's that word. You know what's interesting here in Titus chapter, and again, just a point of interest along the way, that the word that's used here, that the older women are to teach their husbands to love their husband, is that word for the friendship type of love. And again, maybe this is why the older women are to teach the younger this. And maybe one of the reasons that women need to be taught this is I'm not so sure that you'd naturally think that that's the kind of love that would be something important to your husband. I live with this guy. Are you kidding me? I know what's important to him. Okay, but that ain't it. See, your husband is way too macho to let you know what he really wants and what he really needs. And it doesn't sound real macho to say, "Hey, baby, you know what I'm really looking for from you? I want you to be my BFF." I was just thinking about that over here. What do you think about that? But you understand that that was a big part of why he asked you to marry him? Listen, I'm just saying to you, I know that you want the man in your life to make you feel like a princess. But as strange as it sounds, the way that you get there is by making him feel like you're his buddy. I get it. You think I'm whack. I am. But this is truth. Listen, he needs to know that you treasure his friendship more than you do anyone else's. You hear that, ladies? Because I know you do have a BFF. And that's fine. It's cool. But I do want you to understand that the man in your life wants you to treasure his friendship more than anybody else. He needs to know that you'd rather be with him than anybody else on this planet. And I know, actually, I taught our women's ministry in Columbus, Ohio for a year. So I've been connected with y'all. And I know that you like specifics about what to do, right? Okay. And the best way that I can describe it to you, okay, this is the practical part, is do what you were doing when you were dating. Because I can assure you, when you were dating, your husband felt like you treasured his friendship more than anybody else's. And when you were dating, he really believed that you would rather be with him than anybody else on this planet. And I encourage you ladies to make a choice to enjoy your husband's companionship by being his best friend. And this is in your notes. As his friend, you energize him. That's where he gets the fuel to love you the way that you need him to love you. So first of all, a companion is a partner to share life with. Secondly, a companion is a friend to share joy with. And then thirdly, a companion is a lover to share intimacy with. A lover to share intimacy with. You know, in this whole Genesis 2 passage where, you know, God talks about not being good for the man to be alone, there's no getting around the fact that one of the key ways that they were to find what God intended for them was in the oneness of the intimacy of the relationship that God intended for them to share, and that would be expressed through their physical intimacy. Genesis chapter 2 and verses 24 and 25 says, "Therefore Shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Now, ladies, I know how you spell intimacy. Okay, we talked about it in that last session. You spell intimacy T-A-L-K. And I realize that for you, intimacy is more of that emotional kind of thing. But God's trying to let you know in Genesis chapter 2 that your husband spells things differently than you. And you know how he spells intimacy, right? We don't even need to go there. And for him, intimacy is more of a physical thing. And I want to say to you ladies, yes, he is your partner to share life with. And yes, he needs you to be his friend to share joy with. But I also want you to know that your husband needs you to be his lover to share intimacy with. And whereas as his partner you complete him, and as his friend you energize him, as his lover you fulfill him. And listen, when your husband feels complete, when he feels fulfilled, and when he feels energized, listen, he doesn't feel desperate. He doesn't feel alone. He feels dynamic, and I guarantee you, the positive effects of that are going to be felt in your home. And so, ladies, this whole thing of God trying to send out this incredible message that men were never designed to be alone. And man, ladies, if you can figure out how to be your husband's partner, if you can figure out how to be his friend, if you can figure out how to be his lover, I promise you, man, life is going to change for you. That's the way that he was feeling back when you were dating. And so the practical ramifications is just go back in your mind and figure out what you did then. Because as most of you ladies know, who he was when you were dating is not typically the guy that you're doing life with right now. And one of the key ways that you can help in this thing is to just understand that God created the man that you're married to with a desperate need for you. Amen, ladies. All right, let's eat. let's pray. Lord,